Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hi, JP. How you doing?
Hello. How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
Good.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Rainy outside, all sorts of problems already, and we have big news to talk about.
I mean, the Cleveland Browns doing what only the Cleveland Browns can do, which is turning Joe Flacco in a six-round pick into a fifth-round pick. I mean, come on, guys.
That's value
Process
right there.
Process over results. I got your value right here.
It is value. I'll say that. It is value.
Nothing gets me hotter on a Tuesday than value.
They love turning basically what turns out to be nothing into the tiniest of something. They love this.
I just love the idea that at the end of the season, when both Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry sit down with Jimmy Haslam, they're like, all right, so what's our win and loss record? And they're like, we don't want to talk about that.
No.
All right. So where are we at quarterback? Let's also not talk about that. Okay, what win could you conceivably show me when it comes to your 6 years here in Cleveland? We turned 40-year-old Joe Flacco in a six-round pick into a fifth-round pick. All right. Can we do extensions now?
We got two, actually. We also we upgraded Kenny Pickett's fifth rounder into a better fifth rounder, and then they like handshake all around, like when you land on the moon and you're NASA and everyone applauds and goes crazy and nuts. That's them in that moment.
They do like some sort of skull and crossbone or some Ivy League handshake that they've let Jimmy in on, because you know, even though he didn't go to Ivy League, Tennessee, the Volunteer program, you can barely read there, but he's
the football Illuminati.
Yeah, the football. I love that. The thought partners and the football Illuminati. I will say, I tweeted this out, but I will just say it on air because you can verify it. Jake Murren can verify it.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I had written down the topic and pitched the topic. If the Bengals call about Joe Flacco, what's the price? And I honestly, we talked about it, and then I didn't put it in the rundown because I was like, at this point, that kind of topic is hack. And then, so of course, Joe Flacco gets traded into the Bengals.
It wasn't a Monday topic, was all it was.
Yeah.
But it was definitely the type of topic that we were going to get to at some point throughout the week. And I told you before the show, I was like, I almost threw it out there yesterday to be like, and Nick suggested this just to kind of play with it. But I was like, again, it's not a Monday topic. It's not where we're at right now. So yeah, you definitely were thinking that way. Now, obviously, the idea that the Bengals and Browns have never made a trade together, maybe that would have stood in the way. Like, I imagine 80% of phone calls of people would have been like, they don't trade with each other.
Yeah.
Not happening. But it did on the surface make sense.
I'll just say this. Actually, I'd like to go to you. What is just your initial impact, or what is your initial thoughts on Flacco to the Bengals?
Initial thought is, what if Joe Flacco looks good?
Yeah.
That's got to be the biggest thing that everyone has to wonder, right? And he's going to look better than he did with the Browns, because the Browns this season, he was one of the worst quarterbacks in NFL history if you just took the four games that he played. He's going to look better. Higgins makes you look better. Jamar Chase makes you look better.
Yoshua Voss is their third receiver. He's a nice player.
Like, they're going to have Joe looking better. And then the reflective nature of this is going to be, well, all right, how much of that then gets pinned on Stefanski? And I bet a lot of that is going to be, it's going to be happening. We're going to look at Joe Flacco, and he's going to have a 300-yard game. He's going to have a 3-touchdown game or something like that. It's going to happen. And he might even lose those games, by the way. And we're going to get mad at Stefanski.
I think it's interesting the amount of Browns fans that in response to this immediately are like, well, he's washed. I'm like, no, he's washed in this context. So and here's the thing. I don't definitively know he will light it up in Cincinnati. I just think it's really hard to look bad when you have his arm with Jamar Chase and when you have T. Higgins. And oh, by the way, they got a couple little speed guys around them as well. So even though those guys like Yoshivash would probably be your second receiver here at best, well, yeah, but he's the third receiver. So in that context, he gets free a lot.
Well, and I saw our friend Ashley Bastock being like, oh, like shuddering almost with that that Bengals offensive line. It's like, listen, Ashley, I love you. We'll talk to you tomorrow. But like, it's not like the Browns offensive line has been five great players either.
That's actually the saddest thing. As bad as the Bengals offensive line is, your offensive line is worse.
Yeah.
Like dramatically worse. I would honestly, watching as much football as we have through 5 weeks, I think the Browns have the worst offensive line in the NFL through 5 weeks.
I mean, it doesn't get much worse. PFF agrees as far as the pass coverage is concerned.
I honestly hate it. I hate everything about this trade. And I am the guy that had said in January, I don't think they're going to win.
Wait, why do you hate it? What's there to hate about it?
The turning a six into a fifth does nothing for me. It absolutely does nothing for me. I do think Joe has value as a backup and as a leader in that room. And even though I think this team stinks, and I've thought that this team was going to stink since January, you can't be saying things like we're trying to win and putting the best foot forward by trading one of your captains to a division rival, no matter if he's your backup or not.
Is it because you're helping the division rival? Is that the part that you're mad about?
I think it's all of it.
Because I understand that. If you're mad about the idea that this could in turn have them win just enough games to have a spot where when Joe Burrow returns, they're in the driver's seat to then go to the playoffs, understandable completely.
I think it's everything.
I get that side of it.
I don't get up. Like, they've never had a good fifth round pick here. Oh, Jerome Ford. Woo! Also, Richard LeCount, Tony Fields, like Nick Harris.
Yeah,
like,
DPJ was a sixth rounder.
I mean, well, you see, if it was a sixth rounder, I'd feel different about it.
Yeah, you know who else was a fifth rounder, though?
One good season.
Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, which is something we have to get into.
You can get a lot of value out of those fifth round picks.
So we'll get into the Shedeur stuff because that might be the one thing I do like out of this. But no, I don't like trading to a division rival who I think Joe has a chance to be functional there and maybe give them some wins. I could not care less about, oh, we got value. We traded a turned a six rounder. We upgraded by 40 picks. Woo! Don't care about that. Don't like trading a leader. Don't like the message this sends to that locker room, which basically after Kevin Stefanski piddled down his leg yesterday on a game that was incredibly winnable to then the very next day, the GM piddled down his leg by trading a quarterback. And I know it's more value than you should get for Joe Flacco. It's still not value. It's a pick swap. Like those just do nothing for me unless it's a two or three round pick swap, which it was never going to be. I think this team is destined to be 4-13 or somewhere in there. But I think those guys deserve a chance to have veteran leadership in that room. And after this loss specifically, where your head coach cost you the game to trade a guy who's respected in that locker room, I hate this for every veteran that's playing for something that might not be here next year, but might be in the NFL
next
year.
I don't think Joe Flacco was playing again at any point this season. I thought that ship had sailed. I thought it was going to go Dylan, and then it either goes Dylan into Shedeur or Dylan into something I don't even want to dream up. But like, there is value that Joe Flacco brought to the team in a week-in, week-out basis. I saw someone highlight, they took a photo, they were on the sidelines in London, and it was Shedeur and Joe Flacco, and I guess they were like tied at the hip the entire game, the two of them. Mm-hmm. And any time that, again, this is just this person's anecdotal story attached to it all and their evidence of it, but they took a photo and they're next to each other and like they said they were basically the entire game, it was Flacco teaching Shedeur what was going on and being that leader that he never really was to Lamar, by the way, in Baltimore. And so like I think the value of that alone, that type of stuff, that there is something to that. But on the football field, Joe Flacco, he was never going to play again.
I mean, you're probably right. What I would say is I also don't like that this probably puts Deshaun Watson one step closer to playing again for the Cleveland Browns. I don't think it's going to happen, but hypothetically, it's more likely now.
We just keep chipping away at the quarterbacks there to get down to Deshaun, don't we?
Can we swap like one seventh rounder for another seventh rounder for Bailey Zappe? Can we do that?
Bailey Zappe, how does he add value from the practice squad?
I don't know. I mean, well, you bump him up to the roster, you wait a week, value. And then he'll have value, of course.
It's in play.
I would hate this even if I didn't think there was a chance Joe's going to go to Cincinnati and play well. And I think there's a chance. I don't know how big of a chance it is. Like, the Kenny Pickett thing to me made sense because it was like, okay, pick between Joe and Kenny.
Well, so that I think is it's the more insulting thing to the players that are in the locker room, not necessarily getting rid of the voice and everything like that, but the idea that if he goes to Cincinnati and runs the Joe Flacco offense that he had 2 years ago, and yes, you have better wide receivers there, but if he runs it and is able to just unleash and throw the ball deep and not have these golden handcuffs that he had while he was here, if he looks much better, then yes, every Browns fan that's listening to us right now, you have all free right in the world to get as angry as possible at the Browns and how they approach this season.
And can I just say it again? You didn't have to do it. I think that's the other part of it. Like, there's nothing about turning a sixth round into a fifth round pick. And like, and conceivably, this pick could go, because I think it's Detroit's sixth rounder into Cincy's fifth rounder. So if, for whatever reason, the Bengals just fall flat on their face and they're a two-win team this year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this could be like a 70-pick kind of a jump.
Okay.
Yeah, it also doesn't do anything for me because it's still a fifth-round pick. Like, there's just nothing about this that does anything. And here's the thing. I know and you know where this team is likely to go. It doesn't need nudge there, right? You don't, like, this to me is the kind of move you make if you're tanking. And that's not what this team should be doing. It's not how you grow culture. And when I say culture, I mean it's not how you grow young players into the next wave of whatever Super Bowl contention window I hear that organization talk about quite a lot. Just, there's nothing about this that does anything for me. And that's before we get into the idea of you did this for a division rival who, by the way, their liver-spotted owner has said countless times in private to the media that he's never going to trade with the Cleveland Browns.
Their liver spotted owner.
He looks like Palpatine. something Flacco.
So Mary Kay's already reporting, and I believe her reporting is true. I just don't believe that the Flacco side of this is necessarily 100%. She's reporting out there that Joe Flacco did not let the Browns be like, hey, you need to trade me, essentially is what I'm trying to get at. He didn't usher in a trade request, is the point. And I just don't believe it. I believe the reporting. I believe that's what Joe is telling Mary Kay, or wherever Mary Kay is getting the sourced from. I believe that's accurate. The part that I disagree with is I would imagine Joe probably came to the Browns and looked at what's happened with Browning. And I guess the Bengals have been calling everybody and anybody for 48 hours now, trying to make something happen. And I would imagine Joe was very adamant that he wanted out and was trying to get somewhere else in Cincinnati, in a spot where he can at least end his career in a much different way than what we saw with the Browns, where it was awful.
So actually, we're going to put it right here, because there's a tandem piece with that, that it's going to be a piece of Brown spin you're going to hear. And it will make me go through the roof when it is heard, whenever it's reported, which probably will be at some point today or maybe 2 weeks from now, if Joe has a good, I'm not gonna give it away right now, but there is something that I know that there's a piece of spin for this trade. And again, just don't like it on grounds of anything. There's nothing about this deal that does anything for me. I don't care about process, and I care about results, and your results suck, and they're going to continue to suck because this is the kind of thing that does absolutely matter in the locker room. But there's something that will bug me even more than that. And it's right up the alley of what you're saying. But 216-474-0092. We got quick hits coming up at 240. We've got the Peterlin Pass coming up at 340. We've got John Fanta, NBC Sports at 420. Sounded awesome on the NFL coverage this weekend. Big thanks. Albert Breer, MMQB, coming up at 5:20 as well. No Coach Reisland this week. We'll have him back next week. But 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Do you like the Joe Flacco deal to the Bengals for the Browns? Do you think this is good business for the Browns? And there's something that I guarantee you they will push out there. I guarantee you. And it'll make me even more kind of annoyed than I am right now. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I've not seen it yet, and I've looked everywhere for it. But it is the thing that I do think sometimes matters. When teams make a trade, if a team's going to like a rebuild, and you make a trade for a veteran player to a winning situation, they're doing right by player X. Sometimes I buy into that theory. And I do buy into the theory that if you do that enough, that over time there's going to be some sort of residual benefits for your organization. I think timing matters, though. And I think doing this going into week 6 is part of why I don't like it. Whenever the Browns release the very PR-friendly thing of, hey, We just wanted to do right by Joe.
It's going to sound like when Bill Callahan went to the Titans.
Yes, yes. And by the way, has not worked out for the Browns. No offense to Bloom Diddler.
Everyone across the league, though, was like, oh, they get a lot of credit for this one. Letting him go coach for his son. What a great team and organization they're being.
The thing that kills me about that is I've never heard a player come here and be like, I took a discount. I could have been paid more elsewhere because of the way they do things here in Cleveland.
No, I have not heard it. I have heard a lot of players say, I went to Cleveland because they gave me the most money.
Yes. Yeah,
heard that a lot.
Yeah, or they drafted me.
Yeah, that happens too.
They were the only team that traded for me. Like, sure. I've heard all of those things, but the... We got to do it right by Joe Flacco.
I just like the cut of their jib.
Oh, my gosh. And you know what? Mac Jones is going to give you a $250,000 discount this offseason when he signs here with the new head coach. And he's going to think, he's going to be like, I'm doing it for Flacco.
You got Mac Jones already coming to the Browns?
No, I'm not going to do that.
Is it just would you do? Would you call him McCorkle the entire time?
I would, yes.
I know you would, yeah.
Now, here's
the
thing.
I'm surprised you didn't do it right now.
I wouldn't mock him like I mock Kenny Pickett, because I actually think there's something there to Mac Jones.
Okay.
And I know, and I was actually proud of Ken Carmen for bringing it to air today.
I heard him bring it to the air,
because you can remember last football season, in the offseason, I was like, if we're going to do former washed-up first-round pick that hasn't worked out yet, why don't we go with a guy that, you know, was like Rookie of the Year caliber player once in Mac Jones.
Yeah.
I believe you mocked me. Mac mocked me, and he shares a name with McCorkle.
First off, I don't remember if I did or didn't mock you. It sounds very, very much like me to mock you in that setting.
It's like the thank you LeBron thing all over again.
If memory serves me right, was I pushing a campaign for a different guy with the last name Jones? A guy maybe named Daniel Jones that is off to a 4-1 start to the season.
No, we've got an eye was right off.
And was an unrestricted free agent just sitting there as the Browns needed quarterbacks and only cost $13 million?
Somebody needs to talk us off the ledge. We
is
got
that
a couple
maybe,
eye was rights off.
Maybe what happened?
All right, let's simmer down. We were both right. That's all that matters. But no, we did right by Joe Flacco. Blow it out your so-and-so.
I mean, that's going to be it. That's going to be the message they're going to say. But I really do.
How do I reach these quarterbacks?
It's a very nice way, and I believe in the reporting that Mary Kay is putting out there, but I have a hard time thinking, and I think I told you this at one point throughout the, like, before the season even got underway, that if Flacco lost the job, I didn't expect him to just hang around. Again, I think in that conversation, I was hinting more at he would just take his ball and go home. Not that he would broker a trade to a different team, but like, what does Joe Flacco benefit holding a clipboard? Like, if you look at it through Joe Flacco's lens, he's either playing football at this point or he's off on islands and hanging out with his kids and doing family time at 40. Like, he doesn't benefit anything teaching Shador Sanders on the sidelines.
But I do think this is where it goes back to the idea of timing matters. And I understand timing is why it happened, because Cincinnati is in panic mode because you just got waxed by Detroit. By the way, everybody gets waxed by Detroit this year. But I do understand timing became the part of this. But it's like, if this happens after the bye at the trade deadline, it might sound like silly, but those 4 weeks do matter. I think having a veteran in the room, and I'll say one more reason. Kevin's not a good leader. All right. He's not a bad guy. All right. And I don't know he's a bad leader, but he's not a great leader. He might just be what was the word for Dylan Gabriel's play yesterday?
Came up with adequate, but I liked
acceptable.
Acceptable is the one I liked, yeah.
I think Kevin might be an acceptable leader, but when you are...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
When you are spinning your tires in what very quickly can turn into a very lost season, Kevin ain't going to save you. So what saves you is a locker room full of leaders. That is the one thing that I will point to with Joe. And again, like, it's not the end all be all. This isn't going to be the reason why they're fired.
It's really hard, though, to lead from the bench in many ways. And it's really hard just in general. Like, I look at it from Joe's perspective, less from like what Joe can do for us, more is like, why? What does Joe get out of just hanging out on the bench?
Paycheck.
Yeah, great. He gets a paycheck, but like he's made $200 million in his career.
And here's like, another million.
Like, he can go spend his time with his family. He can go hang out and do other things. Like,
and if
like,
he does that, he does that.
But in this instance, I feel like if I'm him, you're right. You don't have to. There's no part of you that has to. But if I'm Joe, I'm pushing. I'm making the broad claim. Like, yes, I want to be gone. I want to go. I want a chance to make sure that my career doesn't end being perceived as one of the worst 4 weeks in football history, like it currently is.
I don't think anyone's going to talk about this 4 week stretch with the Browns when it's all said and done. They're going to talk about the four games that he played in Baltimore.
Not that they're going to talk about it, but it is how it ended. It did end this way.
Nobody talks about how MJ's career ended or
how
Kobe's.
We always talk about how the whole Wizards time we talk about all the time.
I never hear a damn word about it. When it comes to the legacy conversation with Michael.
Well, it's not a legacy conversation. This is about Flacco. This is about Flacco. This is not about how we talk about it. This is about Flacco and his perception.
So that's how he remembers?
Yes. How nobody wants to go out being as bad as he was over those 4 weeks. There's no way he goes to bed thinking that's a satisfying way to cap out an 18-year career.
I think if he's that troubled by four games, I would just say therapy is real and it is beautiful and it is helpful.
So you don't think he's happy that he gets another chance to rewrite
that? No, I think he's happy.
He's got to be thrilled.
But I think the idea that Joe maneuvered anything, it's like, who are you to maneuver? Like, you got signed off the street 2 years ago. The only reason you really started last year in Indy was Anthony Richardson. And the only reason you started this year is Kirk Cousins wouldn't take, like, Kirk Cousins and the Falcons couldn't find a way to make an amicable divorce.
Clearly he does have value because the Bengals just decided they wanted him over whatever it was going to cost him to get Russell Wilson.
Because of a fifth rounder and a sixth rounder.
Well, value. Like, the Bengals are going to have him be their starting quarterback.
That is the dingleberry of value. That is not...
If it's a dingleberry
of
value...
That is a hanging chad of value.
Then he still has that value attached to him.
Oof, man. I hope I have
you
that
brought
value
dingleberry to the equation.
I did. I tried to pivot very quickly to hanging chad.
So I shouldn't have gone for a test.
Do people remember what a hanging chad is?
Yes, I think so. Hey, remember the...
It's 25 years ago
Ted
now.
Mosby dressing up as a hanging chad and How I Met Your Mother for Halloween?
I sure do. Is that what...
It's a good costume.
What has kept the hanging chad living for a long time?
It has for me.
But no, I look at this and I go... The only thing I like about this, and this is... The only thing I like about this is it is one more... Whereas I hate it because it is one more obstruction removed from Deshaun Watson playing this year. And I can tell you right now... If you are 1 in 10 and you put Deshaun Watson in, I will announce my displeasure with authority. That is all I'm going to say.
What is you announcing your displeasure with authority sound like? I'm angry.
I will make a nuclear bomb look like a fart. Okay? I will just absolutely lose my ever-loving mind.
If that happens, I'm going to turn off the mic and I'll just let you go
just
for 15
minutes.
Do you
just maybe walk out, get a cigarette? I don't know.
It's a long walk.
Just, hey, got to get those steps in. All right? But I
look like Volnik when I was gone for those 2 weeks and every video that came out, it was him just sitting there.
Well, no, he's a good listener.
He's a very good listener. You want to get a talk at some point here?
In fairness, the one that everybody saw the most of was the Dolan video. And I think he just was a little afraid to step in there because the eyes were bulging.
Between you and Jake, it's Jake just sitting there.
Now, with that being said, I do think that this now clears the way for Shador to be the backup, and that is more interesting. That is substantially more interesting.
Oh, now even that becomes debatable for a lot of people for some reason, as if Shador shouldn't if that rap sheet report, why are people taking that as if that is gospel in so many ways? Now all of a sudden, because the rap sheet report came out over the last weekend that they wanted to have a clear runway for Shador when he does start, if he does start at all, and they didn't want to just throw him into a game. That's supposed to be gospel. So now that because of that report, Bailey Zappe has to be the backup quarterback. Like, what?
Wait, is that being reported out there, or is that how people are?
That's
twisting?
How people are okay. Twisting it. They're twisting it with the idea that then Bailey Zappe has to be the backup quarterback based off of the rap sheet report. And it's like, how did we get here? Shador's the obvious backup now.
It's so funny because I am Switzerland. You're part of the Shahive. I have no ties to Shador other than I was happy you got him with a fifth round pick because that felt like incredible value. And if given a choice between starting Shador Sanders and Dylan Gabriel, I would have already been starting Shador Sanders. But again, that's like you can choose between this legitimate NFL quarterback and a legitimate NFL backup, right? If they go anywhere at the backup spot other than Shador, what are we doing? Like you've already told the locker room. You've already told them, hey, guys, love ya, believe in ya, but we really got to figure out what we have in these kids. Like, you've already told them that. Bailey Zappe serves no purpose as a backup in the NFL other than he's alive, and he's his name is Bailey Zappe, and he's played before.
He is, in fact, a warm body.
Like,
yeah.
There is, I honestly, like, if you're going to put Bailey Zappe as the backup, we might as well dig up the actor that did the Weekend at Bernie's, and we just do a Weekend at Bernie's, not that Bernie. Like, the Weekend at Bernie's like from 1989.
I think everyone knew which one you were going for.
I realized I was saying Weekend at Bernie's, and I'm like, well, okay, this could go sideways very quickly.
Sunglasses and all. We've gotten very political this segment in ways that we don't ever really, while giving no political thoughts, by the way.
Yeah.
Zero political thoughts. Well, you just wait. Now that we're on YouTube, everything goes.
It's 3:40. All right? I got a lot of thoughts. I got to get off my chest. No, I'm not going to do that.
Shador should be the backup, though. The everyone trying to make this, not everyone, but the people that are trying to make this jump to because Rap Sheet had that report, that obviously means the Browns won't just throw him in. Guess what? If Dylan Gabriel gets injured in the middle of a game, they're going to throw Shador Sanders into the game. Like, I know everyone wants this great soft landing for Shador. Guess what? He can handle it. Throw him in the middle of the game, watch him shine, and don't worry about it.
Yeah, I think where you are with mid-round quarterbacks, while, yes, I do believe that teams, more often than not, ruin quarterbacks than quarterbacks ruin teams, all right? So I've espoused that theory. I stick to that theory. We're also talking about a third and fifth round pick. Like, the idea, teams get so precious with these guys, it's like, we got to let him sit 4 years before we let him get in there. It's like, oh, then you just don't think he's any good.
Right, basically.
Like, you just took him as a flyer and then a figure. Like,
Dylan Gabriel said it best himself. He's like, if you're waiting for the perfect time, you're going to be waiting a really long time. That doesn't really happen.
Shot at Shador.
I know. People thought that was another shot at Shador, and maybe it was. You know, maybe it was.
Well, that might be another thing here. It looks like the alleged, or sorry, the presumed beef between Shador and Dylan gets ratcheted up a few notches.
Well, I mean, if we just got one, there's not a quarterback in between the two of them anymore. Now they're in direct competition. Why not?
216-474-0092.
Deshaun peeks around the corner like, I'm here, guys.
Not going to do it.
Yeah, you want to do it, though.
No, it's a Tuesday, I'm a family man now, and I'm not going to do these things.
You've been a family man for like 15 years.
Yeah, but my kids are older now.
Okay.
And that should matter, maybe. Or not.
Daddy's back.
216-474.
Are you telling my 2-week-old kid that she doesn't matter as much?
I'm saying she'll matter more in more weeks.
My 2-week-old kid. Yeah, it's like a fine wine, just with age.
You always tell me about compound interest.
That is true. I do always tell you about compound interest.
Nick never asked. Hammering that at
Nick
me,
never
and I guess,
by the way, I'm always like, so can we have a convo about compound interest?
I'm like, I guess.
I'd like to tell you about the values and the benefits of compound interest if you have a couple minutes.
Are you okay? I don't know why I say. Are you happy that the Browns did right by Joe Flacco? Single tear falling from my face. Quick hits in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Okay.
We both heard in the break that it might be smart to prepare for Bailey Zappe to be the backup quarterback and Shador to stay at the number three spot when practice opens up tomorrow. Right?
No. I thought it was Bailey Zappe at the two spot and Deshaun Watson in the third spot.
Oh, is that what? Did I just...
That's what I heard.
Okay.
Does Shador go to the practice squad in this scenario? Like, Shador's not even, that's a demotion for Shador. That's not even third, that's a demotion for Shador.
Who wants to go off first? Because
I wondered, because you seemed kind of nonplussed by the whole thing. It wasn't the Bailey Zappe thing. Listen, if Bailey Zappe ends up being the number two quarterback, am I thrilled about that? No, I'm not. But am I going to be like, oh, geez, what's going on? No, clearly they're just convinced that he's not ready, and they're just going to tuck him away, and they're just not going to do anything with him. Now, but the Deshaun side of this is what makes it just bonkers.
You know, you don't, can I, Browns, because I know you're watching here on the YouTube channel. Hi. You don't have to do this.
Because I.
Okay? Yeah. No one wants this. There's nobody out there who's like,
You know how angry?
How does Deshaun look? How does he look after the Achilles and after the shoulder injury and after the allegations and after the trade and after the worst trade? There's nobody asking how he looks. Nobody wants to see this. And some weird idea of, well, we have to see what we have in Deshaun. We had 3 years. What we have is a broken quarterback mentally and physically. You do not have to do this. It's not about Shador. It's not like, guys, you're playing Timu Tua, and I'm not bashing you. I gave the kid credit yesterday for being adequate. All right, I'm here. Let's go. Let's give me another 12 games of this guy, right? I'll get a shorter quarterback with a worse arm. I don't give a rip.
Sure.
Is the homeless guy that told you to draft Manziel? Actually, Johnny Manziel is talking a lot about Cleveland. Let's say, listen, we'll give you some guaranteed money. We'll give you something to hit on the slopes. Let's get back with it, Johnny Manziel. Because that's a better idea than playing or having Deshaun as a third stringer at any point.
I mean, is there an avenue that Shador doesn't play at all this season?
No. No. You would have to be the dumbest bunch of goobers to not play Shador. And I'm talking about even if it's just a week 18.
I'm glad you're saying it, because if I say it, then people just accuse me of being a honk or whatever it is. I'll let you just keep going off here.
Like, this is, we're talking, Connor Shaw played in, Jeff Driscoll played in week 18. Like, this idea we got to be precious with Shador Sanders in week 18. But no, this is about, okay, I'm not even that hot, by the way, about Bailey Zappe as the backup, because it's still week 6.
Well, but Bailey,
right?
Zappe, we need to remind everybody, still makes absolutely no sense and gets you no further in any sort of development or anything if Bailey Zappe plays at all.
But
you're wasting people's time if Bailey Zappe plays.
But I understand the argument of, well, Shador's still not ready to be the backup. I think it's infantilizing and insulting, but again, it's not my quarterback. I can't be upset about that. Now, if Bailey Zappe's still the backup for the final 12, 13 games of the season, then we get a real problem. But sorry, there's 12. That's how it is. Math works that way. But Deshaun, I'm sorry. Like, I have never, ever in my life come close to stop being a Browns fan. It's going to be really hard for me to give anybody in that organization any credit. It's going to be really hard for me. I'm going to watch him because it's my job. It is going to be really hard for me to do anything and respect anyone in that organization ever again if you put him out there for the fourth year. There's just no need. You're not going to win. He's not going to do well. And even if he does well, it opens up a can of worms that you don't need to open up. You're going to cut him at the end of this season. Everyone's going to give me a cap reason why it's not going to happen. You're going to cut his ass
March of 2027. We've gone over the cap reasons. It's very, very
still
hard.
I still don't believe it.
It's very,
I don't,
it's very
think
hard
Deshaun's
going
to be here next year.
It's very hard
I
to
don't.
Pull off.
I'll say it again. I don't think Deshaun's going to be here next year, not because it makes no sense for him to be here, but it makes no sense as well to put him out there this year, no matter what of anything. And the idea that they would do that is beyond insulting to the Cleveland Browns fans who didn't want him here in the first place. Or
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
Who are just sick of watching him fail tremendously in every regard. Just, you don't have to do this, and if you do it, I'm sorry. I've got this much respect left for this organization.
Where's the win for them in it? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, do they think Deshaun is going to come out and then all of a sudden be awesome and we'll just forget the fact that his body is completely broke? He's just an injury-prone player, and then when he's on the field, he can't actually play anyway. Like, are we just going to forget these things? Like, what happens if he plays for, like, 4 games? Do they think it's going to go well?
I know what it is. I know. The hope is that he plays just well enough that you can trade him and another 6th rounder to another team for a 5th rounder. Oh, well, you know what? Take back everything I've said.
But you won't, because he's too much money for the following year, too.
Well, no, you'll eat some of that.
You're not going to be able to.
No, you'll eat some of that. Don't worry. No, they're going to turn another 6th rounder into a 5th rounder. Let's do that. Come on.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's so nonsensical. Every bit of it is just, it just doesn't add up. It doesn't compute. So here's what I'm believing. I'm believing until we see something otherwise that the Haslam grand plan that he laid out for everybody, Haslam told you the cheat sheet. He told you what was going to happen. He said it would be Flacco, and then we're going to see the two quarterbacks, the two rookie quarterbacks. So as this season progresses, that's going to be my North Star. I'm going to keep looking into what Haslam said as the guiding truth, and then we'll see where it goes.
I think
I can't believe that Deshaun would be third ahead of a demotion for Shador.
I think that is what you're saying right now. I think that is a smart and mentally healthy way of handling this.
Well, I have to protect my mental health.
Yeah, you got
to
protect your chickens and protect your mentals.
I don't have chickens.
Yet. Marshawn, listen, you live in no-so.
You think I have chickens at some point?
Like, chickens is a metaphor, all right? You go back and watch the Marshawn clip. Protect your mentals, protect your chickens. It makes a hell of a lot of sense if you just think about it, even if you don't have chickens yet.
Okay.
That's a very smart way of doing it. I will say, I cannot allow you to do this, Browns. I can't. I cannot. No. There's nobody that wants to see this. This is beyond insulting to Browns fans. And honestly, have we forgotten? That locker room was a black hole of energy last year. It was so bad.
Yeah, people walking around like monsters.
I mean, they were zombies.
Zombies. All
like, there's nobody in that locker room. They might like Deshaun, right? But there's nobody in that locker room that still believes in Deshaun. And even if they say it publicly, they don't believe it.
Well, we know nobody believes in Bailey Zappe, because why would you?
Bailey Zappe doesn't believe in Bailey Zappe.
He's just a guy cashing checks at this point, and that's fine.
Listen, the Bailey thing's going to upset a lot of Shador fans, and I get it. It's just not my fight. The Deshaun thing is. Like, it is, like, you stop insulting your fans. Like, I know you want to take your victory laps after one win. Oh, I know the haters will say it. I know you want to take your victory lap after every win, even if you only get 3 wins in a season. I know that you want to tell everyone, look how smart we are, and maybe one of us will give you a gold star. How about this? I'll promise you a gold star if you just don't put Deshaun out there again. There is just no need. There's no upside. And all it's going to do this whole season is about the poison pill for the dumbest trade in NFL history. Not the second dumbest, not the third dumbest, not honorable mention for the dumbest trade. The dumbest and most destructive trade in NFL history. Mm-hmm. And I don't give a damn if Deshaun guarantees you to get the number one pick. You've got a myriad of ways to get that. This would be beyond insulting. And you need to stop. Somebody, if it's Haslam, if it's JW, if it's Cletus, if it's Billy Bob, Betty Sue, whichever Haslam has the keys to the kingdom right now.
And what's
can
funny,
someone
Nick,
smarten up over there?
Nick, what's funny about it is that I'm insulted just by the idea. It's not even him playing at this point. It's the idea that they put him ahead of Shador at any point in this depth chart scenario. Like that's the insult. Like, he could never play again. And the idea that at some point they sat down and said he is above Shador in the depth chart is the part that's enough for me just to lose my mind.
Wadsworth's backup quarterback right now, who I believe is 15, he could be the third man on the depth chart. And I would want him over Deshaun Watson. Radu on Twitter saying, you do realize there are people in the Browns organization who want to justify the Watson trade. Cool. Fire him.
But they already lost.
No.
Like blow their asses out. The hay's in the barn. Justifying it.
If you've got an agenda.
It's over. It's done.
If you've got an agenda this year, 4 years in, if you've got an agenda, then you're probably part of the reason why this thing has failed so tremendously the last 2 years. Jay Knows Sports saying, why do y'all hate number four so much? One, he's got a name. Four. I'm 12 guy. Yeah, I'm a 7 guy. Shut up.
I like the numbers thing.
I think it's the dumbest thing in the world.
We started with Baker.
They have names.
We did six a lot
Every
with Baker.
Player has a name.
I like the numbers.
If I walked up to Myles Garrett and said, hey, 95, go get him, I'd hope that he punched me in the skippies. But no.
It's not a cool thing.
Here's the thing. I don't hate the person. I'm tired of the player. I'm tired of the contract. I'm tired of the worst trade in NFL history, while apparently Baker Mayfield's going to be a friggin' NFL MVP. So with all due, it has nothing to do with Deshaun. It has everything to do with what Deshaun represents. Galactic failure. I mean, holy crap level failure by the Cleveland Browns.
It's got a lot to do with Deshaun for me.
Well, no. So my point is, I don't know Deshaun. 4 years in, I'm no closer to knowing Deshaun because he hasn't made it a point to let us know Deshaun. He's let his on-the-field play do the talking, and it has been abysmal. So quite frankly, at some point, we all made peace with the reasons why you shouldn't really want Deshaun Watson here in the name of, oh, but good football. What if he plays good football? No, no, no. Now this is about learn your lesson. I don't know, but maybe it's because I don't have billions. When life kicks me in the head two or three times, I tend to listen. I tend to be, you know what? I'm not going to touch that stove again. Right? Hey, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that thing again. That three times I've done it has burnt me to this point. But apparently the Browns can't. We have to justify the Watson trade. You're not justifying anything. You're being arrogant, and honestly, you're condescending your fans if Deshaun Watson touches that field.
Well, you're also really, you're condescending to the players, too. Shador gives you a much better chance to win games than Deshaun ever will. But again, Shador gives you a better chance to win games than Bailey Zappi does, too. Like, this is the part that, it just makes no sense to me. Why can't they see the idea that there's so much upside to be had with Shador, while Deshaun, there is zero upside to be had here? You're not winning anything with the fans doing this. You're not winning anything from a game standpoint doing this. The wins aren't there, but they could be there if you have Shador. That's the part that I can't get around my head here, Nick. It doesn't make any sense. If you're trying to win football games, none of it makes sense. And maybe that's the reality. Maybe they're just not trying to win football games.
So if you guys are just joining us, JP and I were informed that at least somebody around
here
believes.
Are they scared Shador will take him out of a draft position?
Yeah, at this point, I don't know if they're more
like maybe that's what I need to be looking at this. Like if Bailey Zappi or Deshaun play, maybe it's because they know that they'll lose enough games to be able to make sure that their draft position is good.
That'd be really weird because then you'd be like, well, hey, we got a quarterback in Shador.
Only thing that makes sense because Shador gives him a much better chance to actually win than those quarterbacks.
So JP and I were told that we should expect Bailey Zappi to be the backup quarterback and Deshaun to be QB3, which honestly, when I was told, I just heard Shador to be quarterback 3 because that's how much I want to hear Deshaun Watson is QB3. How are we feeling about this? You guys want to see Deshaun again this year? Come on, 216-474-0092. Get in on that chat, super chat. We want to hear from you guys on YouTube. How excited are you guys?
I like when you turn into your influencer.
To see Deshaun Watson again. Come on, guys. Let's get behind 4. Come on. Come on. We got what's Dylan's number again? I've already forgotten it. Is it 8?
We changed it. Yeah, it's 8 now. Yeah.
Let's get behind 8, 5. 2. And let's get behind 12. You know what? Put the homeless guy in a jersey. Let's call it number 18. Let's get behind 18 as well.
I like the number game. I do.
You guys want to see Deshaun again? 216-474-0092. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.